those who are we're back. Welcome to those who are just joining us. It's just the BMP Rebbeim. Just to follow up on that note, I am here every afternoon in the capacity of a mashkiach. Baruch Hashem, one of the amazing things about BMP is that the Rebbeim are also essentially mashkichim, and you'll get to know, for those who are new, you'll get to know very quickly, you'll see very quickly the love and the concern and the interest and the time and the effort that the Rebbeim put into the Talmidim, to make sure that not only you understand the Sugi of Gemara that you're working on, but to make sure that you're growing as a Jew in all of the struggles that we sometimes encounter in life, and to really develop a Kesher Shel Kayama, a permanent bond with your Rebbeim. It's something that Baruch Hashem comes very naturally to the BMP Rebbeim, in addition to obviously their unbelievable Torah knowledge, and everyone should take advantage of those opportunities. But I am here, and I'm more than happy and looking forward to having opportunities to meet with you and to speak with you and to get to know each other. There was a great Maggid in Eretz Yisrael who passed away a couple of years ago. His name was Rav Yaakov Galinsky. And Rav Yaakov Galinsky once shared the following mashal. I think it's a fitting mashal to think about in terms of some of the challenges and opportunities that we have specifically learning in life. Rav Yaakov Galinsky gave the mashal of a fellow who goes out one day, he's trying to raise a little bit of money, having a difficult time with his personal finances. He's walking down the street and he sees a fellow standing on the street corner, and he sees that the guy is very successful in getting money from people. People seem to want to give tzedakah to this guy. So he says to the fellow, he says, "What's the secret? Why do you get so much money? You know, I've seen other people out on the street corners, you get a quarter, maybe 50 cents, I see you get a dollar every time. How do you get dollars?" So he says, "Well, you know, you could see, I guess it depends where you're standing in the world." He says, "You can see I wear a Hasidic lavush. Clothing is Hasidic garb." And he says, "And people have a place in the heart for Hasidim." So maybe he says, "Maybe that's why people give me." So the guy says, "Great." So, you know, he wasn't a chassid. He figures, if I dress now like a chassid, then I'll be able to get more money. So he starts dressing like a chassid, and he's getting dollars from everyone. He finds out that a few blocks away, there's a fellow who seems to be getting $5 bills. $5 bills? What's his secret? So he goes down the block, he meets this fellow, and he says, "Listen, you know, I'm trying to make some money, and I got this tip to dress like a chassid, and I got more money that way, but people give you $5 bills all the time." He said, "Yes." He said, "Because I'm a convert. And people have a place in their heart, a special sensitivity for converts." "Okay." So he goes and he starts telling people, "You know, I converted to Judaism," and everyone's giving $5 bills. Then he finds out there's someone a couple blocks over, getting $10. $10 bills. What's this guy's secret? $10 bills. So he goes over to this fellow and he says, "Here you get $10 bills." So he says, "Yeah." He says, "Because I'm a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. I'm a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. And when people hear you come from such holy stock and you're going through such a difficult time, the founder of Hasidus, the Baal Shem Tov, so people want to help you out that much more." So this guy thinks he's going to be really smart. He decides, "I'm going to make more money than everyone combined." And he goes a few blocks over to this new territory where no one's there, and he writes himself a sign. He's going to hold up to tell people who he is, and he holds up a sign and he says, "I'm a convert and a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov." I figured he's going to make a lot of money now. You can't be a convert and a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. Yaakov Galinsky explained, sometimes in life, when a person wants too many things, you end up with nothing. One of the challenges, one of the obvious challenges that I think we all know, there's no reason to pretend it doesn't exist, of coming to Yeshiva University, is that a little bit, there's a contradiction between Yeshiva and University. I'm not talking only in Ashkaf, I'm just talking about in terms of the amount of time and effort it takes to be good at Yeshiva and to be good at University. And to be able to be matzliach in both, to be successful in both those areas. To be able to grow in my Torah, in my Yiras Shemayim in Yeshiva, and to be able at the same time to do well in college, to be able to get good grades. And to be able to get that good internship, to get that good job, whatever it is that a person is seeking in this world. It becomes very difficult sometimes to juggle and to balance and to be successful in yeshiva and university at the same time. Mordechai Gifter, used to say, it's not necessarily even a knock on the importance, and you can say this is you know, the importance of Torah and the university is worthless. You're in yeshiva university, obviously you don't believe that. Right? But it's not even a question of which is more important. I think we all believe Torah is more important. I think we all believe that getting an education is also important. But there's a challenge in trying to be really good and more than one thing at a time. Rav Gifter used to say, if a person decides he wants to go to Harvard Medical School, and he also wants to go to Harvard Law School, will they allow him to enroll in both at the same time? Obviously not. And is it because what Harvard Medical School doesn't hold of Harvard Law School? It's just that it's impossible for a person to be able to be focused on one if he's simultaneously focused on the other. And that's one of the obvious challenges that we have when we come to our yeshiva. It can be hard. For those who are new, I don't mean to scare you. For those who are coming back, you know a little bit some of those challenges. It is hard to make a daily commitment to learning Torah for many hours a day, to being able to use my afternoons well, to take my classes seriously, to juggle my time, and again, in a very precise way, to be able to come to learn with Rabbi Myers for night seder, or to set up my own night seder, to find time to make sure that I'm davening Maariv with the Minyan and Shacharis with the Minyan, and finding time to be a growing Jew. It's not an easy thing. But it's also reality. That's real life. Because in real life, God willing, you're going to have a job one day. And you're going to have a family one day. And you're going to have a lot of responsibilities one day. And hopefully, in all of that, you'll have mastered the skill of what? Of being able to prioritize Torah. To make Torah an important part of your life when it's not so easy, when there are other things. That it will be possible to somehow merge the two worlds and be successful and become a wholesome Jew. I want to share with you a couple of lines from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was one of the greatest Torah geniuses of the previous generation. And again, you know, sometimes we look at the landscape of juggling our college classes and a demanding learning schedule, and we get very overwhelmed before it even starts. The point here is not to overwhelm you. The point here is to encourage you that it's entirely possible for you to do, and there are people who have done. And you're not the first one to struggle with this. And again, life is not going to get easier. You have to learn how to value and prioritize your Yiddishkeit, and at the same time to take care of your worldly responsibilities. And again, we're not living in the hardest times ever. I want to share with you just a couple lines from the Chazon Ish, just to show you what it might be like for a person to learn in very difficult times. Very, very difficult times. This is from the Chazon Ish in his writings on Taros. I know very little, basically nothing in this volume. But in Siman Zion of the Chazon Ish and Taros, in his writings on Maseches Kehilah. Now again, for those who don't even know what we're talking about, Taros is one of the six orders of the Mishnayos, Shas. Right? Maseches Kehilim is a very long and difficult Masechta of Tumah and Taros, the laws of purity and impurity. And one of the hardest sections, what's known to be one of the hardest krakim of Maseches Kehilim, is the fifth parak of Maseches Kehilim. Very, very difficult. The Chazon Ish, Kedarko B'Chodesh, wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula. He wrote on everything, and he had an absolute mastery of everything. Listen to what the Chazon Ish writes in a small paragraph as an introductory note to his Chidushim on Kehilim Perakim. Here's what he writes. He says, today is Tesvav Tammuz, Tuf Ayin Reish, Reish Ayin Tuf, whatever you want to arrange it, 1915, a little over 100 years ago. Shnas Milchama al Pnei Kol Ha'aretz, Asher Osu Mamleches Ashkenaz, Austria, Es Mamleches Rusia, Anglit, Tsarfat, he says the world is at war. He says Austria and Russia and France and England. V'charbu ayrot, cities are laying in ruins. V'ner sumedinos, and countries have been destroyed. V'moshav b'nei Yisrael, places where Jews live. V'rivos mi b'nei Yisrael, galu b'li mish'an mish'ana. And there are tens of thousands of Jews who are homeless, who don't have a parnasa, who can't put food on the table. Very trying times. V'nare b'nei Yehuda, and you think what? You think the Jews are just watching on the sidelines as their homes are being destroyed by the war? Jews are on the front lines. Nare b'nei Yehuda, young Jewish men, naflu chalalim asdei karav mizeh mizeh. On the battlefields, Jews are falling on both sides. Countless young Jewish men. Umatu batei medrash l'torah be'in tomechu machzik. The batei medrash are closing. The batei medrash are closing because there's no one to support them. There's no one to learn within their hallowed walls. Umahuma rab of the care of Kol Yisrael. And it's a time of unbelievable physical and spiritual upheaval. And he writes, here I am. I'm living in a place called Stoipsa. He says, Stoipsa, where I find myself, Shenisra kama'at kol ha'ir. He says, a few months ago, the entire city in which I find myself was destroyed by a terrible fire. V'chol yoshvea b'lachat v'dachak be'ein bayis lagur be'ein makom lalur. And everyone is wandering around, trying to find somewhere to live, trying to regroup, trying to get their act together. It says the Chazon Ish, and now I will begin to explain the fifth chapter of Maseches Kehilah. Pretty difficult times, physically terrifying, spiritually difficult. And yet the Chazon Ish said, the Torah is more important. And I'm not going to allow a world in utter upheaval to stop me from growing close to a Kadosh Baruch. We look at our world today, we're living in scary times. I don't have to convince anyone of that. Whether you feel physically threatened, spiritually threatened, emotionally threatened. But you look at the world stage right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty in our lives. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to say, a yeshiva is called a yeshiva, because the yeshiva is the yishuv ha'ol. It's the place where a person can live when everything else is falling apart. When you look out the window and you have no idea what's going to happen in the world, and you're looking for a place to call home, when everything seems to be crumbling around you, come to the yeshiva. The yeshiva is the yishuv. It gives a person yishuv das. It gives you a clarity and reminds you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And it doesn't really matter who's the president, it doesn't matter what the world stage is going to be, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, whether you like the way the world's going, you don't like the world's going, right? Whether you feel like it's an easy time to learn because there's so many opportunities to learn Torah, or you feel like it's a really difficult time to learn because there's so much temptation in the world. Right? This is not the most trying times in the history of the world. And certainly as Bnei Yeshiva, we're trying to grapple, to understand, how can I balance yeshiva and university? Is it difficult? Yes, it's difficult. It is difficult. It's going to take a lot of care on your part to do well. It's going to take a lot of commitment on your part to do well. Golduch was talking about being koveya itim. Kviyas itim, to make a commitment to show up on time, every day, and not just for a week, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, but to go the whole semester. All what? 10 weeks? What do we have? 12 weeks? 13 weeks? Not so long. To be able to show up every day with your Gemara in hand, ready to learn, well rested, right? To use your time in a way that's responsible so you're able to achieve that goal. Again, it's a daunting task, but it's entirely possible. The Chazon Ish was able to do it amidst the war raging in the world in 1915. Be able to say, in such a matzah, I'm going to begin to expound and to explain to you the most difficult fifth parak of Maseches Kelim. But the Chazon Ish knew that as Jews, we have to be prepared to make sacrifices and to push. And to make commitments to the learning of Torah. Avnei Nezer, I'm sure some of you have heard of, had a Talmud Muvhak, probably we're less familiar with, the Chalkas Yoav. Rav Yoav Yoshua Weingarten, Rav Yoav Kintzer, as he was known, he wrote very, very deep svarim, Chalkas Yoav. He wrote a section in his writings called the Kava de Kushisa. The Kava de Kushisa, Kuv Beis Aleph, Kava, Kuv Beis Aleph, 103 really difficult questions that he had. Impossibly difficult sugyas, questions in Lamdas, Kavod Kushyos, 103 Kushyos, very difficult questions that he wasn't able to resolve. There was a Jew who passed away in the 1950s, Yeshaya Vinograd. He wrote a sefer, he wrote on all of Shas, beautiful svarim, deep svarim, called Shari Ziv. Ziv is Rashi Tevos of his name. Yeshua Zev Vinograd. And in the Shari Ziv, in the back of one of the volumes, he sits down and he answers up all 103 really difficult questions of the Chalkas Yoav, the Kava de Kashisa. These really impossible questions that one of the great, you know, Polish Gaon and geniuses, the Talmud Lubak of the Avnei Nezer, couldn't resolve. And this Jew, in the past in the 1950s, was a great Talmud Chalk, he resolved these questions. You know when he wrote that section of his Shari Ziv, when he answered up all 103 impossible questions of the Chalkas Yoav? He says it was 1948. It was 1948. Israel was at war. And I found myself in a bomb shelter. And somehow when I found myself in the bomb shelter, I found myself in that bomb shelter with the writings of Rav Yoav Yoshua Weingarten, the Chalkas Yoav. And I sat down and I looked at his 103 questions, right, in a pretty frightening time in the history of the world and the Jewish people. And he says, and I sat there and I was able to answer up all 103 questions. And he included it in one of his volumes on Shas called the Shas. My friends, yes, we have our challenges. We have some difficulties. And you'll say, these people are much greater than me, and that's why they were able to do it. We could excuse ourselves in that way. Or we could say they also understood that if bombs were falling all around, if my hometown's been decimated and destroyed by war, if my home is literally burning and Jews are wandering in the street, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to learn Maseches Kelim. Or I'm going to sit down and answer up 103 really, really impossible questions. You know why? Because Torah has to go on. And Torah will go on. And it's just a question of I want to be a part of that awesome chain that will forever continue. The chain of those who learn Torah. That's the opportunity that we have here at Yeshiva University. Is it easy? It's not easy. One of the frustrations that I think we all feel is that sometimes when a person is learning, sometimes you don't see your own progress. Goldberg was talking a few moments ago about a tree. How a Jew is like a tree, a person is compared to a tree. And you water a plant, and you water a seed, and you don't necessarily see results right away. one of the problems of our society is we like fast results. We like being able to click, 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 Amazon Prime, a drone flies through your window, drops it through your bedroom window, you have exactly what you need 10 seconds later. That's the world that we're living in / heading to. And it's hard to sit over a Tosfos, over a Rashba, over a line of Gemara, over Halach and Shulchan Aruch, to try to understand it, to crack our heads, to be willing to work at it, day in and day out, over and over again. But I want to just end with a beautiful comment from the Sefer Darash Mordechai Druk, Zatzal, in this past week's parsha. It says a very powerful thing, and I think it'll help us, it'll inspire us to make that commitment, to realize while we do have challenges, but if we're willing to sit day in and day out, keep watering, keep watering, keep watering, then we'll see. We will see things grow. We will see success in our ruchnius and in our Torah learning. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'haya im lo yaminu lach v'lo yishmu l'kol ha'os harishon v'aminu l'kol ha'os ha'ach." Moshe Rabbeinu is being shown signs to try to prove to Bnei Yisrael that he's in fact going to be the Redeemer. Hashem says, "I'll give you one sign. Oh, and if that doesn't work, I'll give you another sign. Oh, and if that doesn't work, I'll give you a third sign." The fathers and the Mefarshim, already the Rishonim are bothered by this. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking as if Hashem doesn't know? Hashem is writing this as if there's a doubt, there's a suffix. Hashem doesn't know when Bnei Yisrael are going to get the message. Why is he saying to Moshe, if the first one doesn't work out, then you'll try a second one. And if that doesn't work, try a third one. Why did Hashem say, listen, it's not going to work, you're going to need a second one, you're going to need a third one, it's simply not going to work? This is a question that Ibn Ezra addresses. And the obvious answer that you would expect from someone like Ibn Ezra is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing it from Moshe's perspective. From Moshe's perspective, he's saying, listen, Moshe, I know you're not sure if the first sign is going to work. Maybe you'll need a second sign. Maybe you'll even need a third sign. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, eventually it's going to work. But if you think about it, what that means, if Hashem is writing it from Moshe's perspective, what Hashem is also hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu is that really, from my perspective, it was working the first sign. It was working the second sign. It worked the third time also. You didn't see it until the third time. But it was working all along. Each of those signs were moving the Jewish heart in the right direction. They were getting a little closer to Geula, even if you didn't see it with your own eyes. He quotes from Rav Zaitchik. Rav Mordechai Druk quotes from Rav Zaitchik. He says, like a person who takes a medication. A person has a sinus infection. Yeah, so you go to the doctor. The doctor says, here, take this medicine. You have to take it for 10 days. Right? And it'll clear you up. You take it the first day, nothing's happening. You take it the second day, nothing's happening. You take it the third day, nothing's happening. All of a sudden, by the end of the 10 days, though, you feel a lot better. So the truth is, says Rav Zaitchik, something was happening the first day. Something was happening when you took the second dose. Something was happening when you took the third dose. You didn't recognize it, maybe until you finished the medication. But something was happening all along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you're going to work with Klal Yisrael for a lot of years now. There's going to be times when you think it's working. There's times when you don't think it's working. Hashem says, from your perspective, you might think the first one didn't work. You might think the second one didn't work. Hashem says, I want to first of all tell you, Moshe, I guarantee eventually it's going to work. And more than that, from my perspective, it was working all along. You didn't have the eyes to see it. But I promise you, every bit of effort you were putting into Klal Yisrael was working. Klal Yisrael were growing. Klal Yisrael were becoming that much closer to their personal geula. And he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. V'lo yishmu l'kol ha'os harishon. The voice of those. Does the os have a voice? A voice means allowing it to express itself. It's going to take some time to Moshe to be able to see with your own eyes. But I promise you, internally, Klal Yisrael are getting the message. And he ends with a beautiful insight into the world of one of the greatest Torah Jews. Someone who could certainly be a role model for each and every one of us. Even those of us who only started learning not that long ago. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe of Torah Shabbat Al-Pah. The transmitter. All of his Talmidim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, all of Rabbi Akiva Stimta, as he sometimes called in the Gemara. Any stam, any statement that's not attributed to a particular name, we know, Chazal revealed to us who it is. Those are all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Stam Mishnah, Tam Sosefta, Stam Braisa. It's all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the linchpin in the transmission of Torah Shabbat Al-Pah. Rabbi Akiva got started later in life. Says Rav Juk, what's so amazing about Rabbi Akiva? We all know the Medrash that woke up Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva saw a rock, and he saw that with water dripping on a rock, the water was able to bore a hole through that rock. So Rabbi Akiva said, so too my heart, which sometimes feels like stone, can also be penetrated by the powerful waters of Torah. But Rav Juk points out, you know what's so amazing about Rabbi Akiva? What was Rabbi Akiva so in his spall? What did he look at the rock he was so captivated by? It's impressive that the water is able to get all the way through, but you know what he was able to say to himself also? See, when that first drop of water landed on the rock, you couldn't see anything. When the second drop of water landed on the rock, you couldn't see anything. The third drop, the fourth drop, the fifth drop. The truth is, you look at each independent drop, you can't even begin to imagine how anything's ever going to come from this. Rabbi Akiva looked back and said, wow, if you stick at it long enough, if you keep working at it, then eventually what was working all along, like that medicine that you were taking all along, which was working, even though you couldn't see it and you couldn't hear it, eventually you're zochah to see it. Eventually you're able to see it with your own eyes. So I want to give us a big bracha. I want to remind ourselves that again, while we live in challenging times, both in terms of the world at large and in terms of the balance of a yeshiva and a university. Some would say it's a contradiction. You can't be an einikul of the Baal Shem Tov and be a ger at the same time. You can't learn in Harvard Law School and Harvard Medical School at the same time. But Baruch Hashem, many people have come through Yeshiva University, and they've been matzliach in yeshiva, and they've been matzliach in university. It just takes a willingness of a person to commit, to work at, day in and day out. To remind yourself that in much more challenging times, like the Chazanish wrote about in 1915, or like the Shari Ziv was answering up those questions in a bomb shelter in 1948, to believe that if we keep working at it, if we keep working at it, even if I don't see results day in, day out, I come to Shir and I didn't fully understand the Shir. You should know that something happened internally. Spiritually, you connected yourself to the Torah Hashem, and that makes it all worthwhile. Again, I give us a bracha. We should have the courage and the commitment to work at it day in, day out. To be like that tree that Reb Govich was describing, that eventually will grow and blossom and produce such beautiful fruits, which will be a source of nachas to each and every one of us, to Rebbeim, to our yeshiva, with the entire class.
Amen.
That was amazing.